Cards of Yore is a digital collectible card game from Utter Insanity Studios that is designed to be playable by anyone, which means you can expect accessibility features that are often lacking in mainstream releases. I'm joined now by Ross, creative director at Utter Insanity Studios, to find out more about this unique game and how to play it. Hi, Ross.
Hello.
So, Cards of Yore, I'm going to be honest here, I don't know much about card games, even less about digital versions of them. So, how does this one work?
It's a trading card game. So, you collect cards and you can build up your deck, whichever way you want. Some players will get different preferences. You get different kinds of deck. The goal is to kind of reduce your opponent's health, essentially. So, all of the cards represent plants or animals or characters or buildings, and they'll have various kind of abilities and different effects, but typically they'll also have a kind of attack value.
And this is your very first release from the studios. Any particular reason you've went for a card game format rather than a different style of game?
To be honest, it just sort of happened. The programmer that I've been working with, the two of us work on another project, and I've kind of been responsible for designing the entire kind of universe for it. And it's a shared universe with Cards of Yore. It's all my original design. It's my creatures, plants, history, even the kind of in-game kind of race that was meant to have created the card game and the history behind it. So we kind of started making it just as a fun little side project. It ended up being really fun to play, and it just sort of evolved into its kind of own thing.
So it's a world you can basically learn about, and there'll be a lot of elements to it. From what I can tell, there'll be a lot of planning and a lot of background to basically each card design.
Yes, there is dozens upon dozens of gigabytes of text files on these creatures. Every creature that appears on the cards, while it's not totally relevant to the card game, it does have a life cycle, a breeding cycle, typical temperaments, its own social structures, migration patterns. It's part of an intricate food chain and ecosystem.
So obviously the game has quite a few elements you, I guess, need to keep track on. How are you making it accessible to people who live with sight loss?
It's just a kind of core value of mine. And I feel like it's becoming a catchphrase. It's, if someone could be able to play your game, then they should be able to play your game. I am morally an egalitarian socialist. I place people over profits. I understand businesses need to be profitable, all the rest of it, but it shouldn't be the core drive, especially of a game. It's the difference between a product and a customer, or a game and a player. It was always designed to go on as many platforms as it could, be playable by as many people as possible. Its job is to entertain people. So because we were already thinking of things like Xbox, PlayStation, or even just a lot of people prefer to use a controller with a PC, we were already using controller-based controls. And if we take the mouse out of the equation and stick to that, it's actually quite easy to have every piece of information in the game carried over by a screen reader. It's easy in terms of design. The actual functionality of it has been a bit trickier, but we've had quite a lot of people with complete vision loss play the game and find the controls that were set up to be intuitive. Obviously, there have been a few suggestions for tweaks. Those have been made. But for me, the most important thing was, just because someone can't see the screen doesn't mean that there's any excuse for them to ever have a lack of understanding of what is on the screen.
And you're still improving the game, and obviously you want more people to give it a go and let you know what works and what doesn't.
Yes, that is the most important thing on the planet. These results backing.
So how would we go about trying the game and giving you some feedback?
It can be downloaded on our website. You can just go straight to autoinsanity.co.uk/what-is-coy, C-O-Y, and there's a download link about two-thirds of the way down the page. We are still getting a little bit of hassle from VoiceOver on Mac. And unfortunately, because of that, I've not released Screen Reader support on Mac yet. I don't like the fact it can shut down halfway through and leave people with no idea what's happening and no sort of feedback. So we're holding that back. But there is NVDA on Windows, which we have full support for. We are still a few weeks away from what we call the collection screen, which is a part of the game's menu where all the cards you have are stored. And it has functionality where it's essentially like turning the card over and everything about it is written on the back. I have made sure to write all card descriptions with a description of what the creature looks like. It's the same for the kind of player avatars, which are little deer people. Each element of it that you can choose has a visual description.
So for someone who's listening to this interview and they're thinking, oh, that sounds quite interesting, but I'm not sure, what would you say to convince them to give the game a go?
It is quite easy to learn, but it's pretty rewarding to master. It's completely free to try out. You don't lose anything by giving it a try. And if you enjoy playing chess or anything like that, it could actually be quite fun. There's a lot of strategic elements to it.
Sounds really exciting, and I think I'm going to have to give it a go. But in the meantime, Ross McEwen from Alter Insanity Studios, thank you so much for speaking on RNIB Connect Radio.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me.